Hello here, Donovan, and the next track is called Atlantis. I just want to thank Matt once again for holding it down in here with me. So yeah, The Juice 902, you can visit us at www.thejuice902.com, and yeah, try to update that as much as possible. And yeah, enjoy, have a good one, and here's Donovan, Atlantis.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the great flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores those beautiful sailors journeyed to the south and the North Americas with ease in their ships with painted sails. To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends. Though gods they were, and as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Way down below the ocean,
Hello, this is Hour at the Apollo, and I want to kick this off with a little roll call. Hello. Roll call.
What up, it's Glenn, and this is the Hour of the Apollo.
Yeah.
So what do you have planned for us today? What's going on?
Well, yo, first off, this is Apollo 13, and, well, I got a good show come today, man. We're going to touch on, you know, some lighter issues and some more serious issues. Lighter issues are like what it's like to be an aspiring artist, especially in a city like Halifax. You know?
I like this.
And the next one is... And the next one actually is the police. And, like, how some police officers are, like, corrupt. And how some are actually very helpful to the community.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's just...
You know, like, I don't want any biased opinions today.
You don't want any biased opinions?
No biased opinions.
Are you guys on in the other
room? No, they're not on yet. So, yeah, let's backtrack while we're kind of getting people set up in the in Studio 2. This is Youth Now, believe it or not. It is Youth Now, and it's also the Apollo Hour here at CKDU 88.1 on your FM dial. So, Apollo is running a ship tonight, which is exciting.
Yeah, we're all duct taped to the seats. We're all running things.
Indeed. Why don't we play this track? Let's play this track out, what's in the background, and we'll get set up for Studio 2. So you want to bring this up?
Yeah, click on the song, homie.
Bring this up, homie. Bring it up.
No.
You know, this song is
the
fine.
Next song? All right, yeah. Let's kick it off with something nice and flavorful. This is called Waving Flag by K-9.
I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. When I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like a waving flag. And then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh. Born to a throne, stronger than Rome, a violent prone, poor people's zone, but it's my home. I got grown, streets we would roam, out of the darkness, I came the farthest, among the hardest survivors, learn from these streets, it can be bleak, accept no defeat, surrender, retreat, so we struggling, fighting to eat, and we wondering, when we'll be free, so we patiently wait, for that fateful day, it's not far away, but for now we say, when I get older, just like a waving flag, and then it goes back, and then it goes back, and then it goes back. Oh. So many wars, settling scores, bringing us promises, leaving us poor. I heard them say, love is the way, love is the answer, that's what they say. But look how they treat us, make us believers, we fight their battles, then they deceive us, try to control us, they couldn't hold. Just move forward like buffalo soldiers. But we struggling, fighting to eat, and we wondering when we'll be free. So we patiently wait for that fateful day. It's not far away, but for now we say, when I get older, I will be stronger. They'll call me freedom, just like.
When I get older, I will be stronger, just like a raven.
I do not. I can hear you.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
We're going to have one hell of a show today, right, guys?
Yep.
Indeed.
All right. So let's kick it off. All right.
Everybody here, okay?
Who's in Studio B?
Yeah, well.
What's good? What's good? It's your boy, Mr. Marsh Williams, a.k.a. Lash, a.k.a. The Champ. Just chiming in from the most beautiful weekend of the summer so far, even though I punished myself and didn't go and enjoy it like I was supposed to. But, you know, it's all good. I'll get them this week. I might get them tonight because it'll still be hot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's your boy Case, fresh from the beach, you know. Yeah, I had a great weekend as well. I didn't make it to the beach Saturday, but I was there Sunday, and I was there today. So, yeah, man, it's beach weather. So shout out to everyone who's at the beach right now listening, and shout out to everyone who wants to go to the beach like me. Party at the beach after the show. Meet me there.
Sandy Point.
What's up, Halifax? It's Becky. It's a beautiful day. I'm loving the weather. In a good mood. Just been walking around most of the day. Yeah.
Hey, what's up? It's James. I'm new to the show, but yeah, like everyone else, I'm loving the weather. Never got a chance to go out yesterday, but today I got my fair share of sun, so yeah. Got some tracks to show you guys, so yeah.
Some beat tracks, all that.
Some beats, some tracks.
What's up, Halifax? This is Mia. I'm enjoying the weather as well. I didn't really go outside. I tried to avoid the heat, but I couldn't.
No way around this shit.
Oh, this is cool, because I should chime in too, shouldn't I? This is Sobaz, in case you didn't know. Now you do now. And I'm in a bad mood.
What?
No, I'm only kidding. I'm in a good mood. It's good to be here, and I haven't spent any time at the beach, but I did jump in the pool yesterday. We set up a pool at my house, so that was exciting. Oh, and bubbles.
Hey,
yes.
Okay, cool. You can hear me there, man.
We got bubbles in the studio here.
I know. Becky was telling me she was...
No, she's blowing all kinds of bubbles, making this a very nice place to be. Oh, Lemire just... We can't see it out here in Radio Land, but what Lemire just did, and continues to do, is to be catching these bubbles on her tongue.
Soap.
How does it taste like?
Soap is the most disgusting flavor on earth, hands down.
Lemire's enjoying the bubbles.
So
is Kenny enjoying bubbles?
I might have to come over there and watch this little.
It's not like that. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's, we keep it clean here in Studio 2. All the dirty people can stay in Studio 1.
That's why me and Glenn are sitting over here.
That's right. Are you going to say something?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited because Apollo, like he said at the top of the show, is running the ones and twos. Is that a correct thing? Ones and twos? What do we call it these days?
It's the ones and twos are the wheels, man. And that's the board.
Yeah.
He's on the board. He's steering the ship.
So it's exciting. And, I mean, tell us how come you're running the board before we begin our show, this exciting show. How come you are where you are right now? What's been taking place this past week for you to be able to have the confidence and skills to be doing the board and teching for the show?
All right. Well, first off, this is Apollo, a.k.a. Apollo 13, a.k.a. Apollo Creed. And, you know, I'm running this board because there's been a camp going on here at CKDU, and they've been teaching us a lot.
What's the name of the
radio
camp?
Summer Camp.
Don't touch the mic so much, man.
Feedback.
Sorry. That was my bad. I'm still learning. I'm still learning over here. And, yeah, man, it's been going really good. We're making an audio documentary on discrimination and youth violence, and it's surrounding the incident at Cole Harbor and Auburn. And it's going to be really good. It's dropping Friday, so you should check into that.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Also, we got RS Smooth coming in later, as well as our guest, James Ritchie, a.k.a. Richcraft.
Yeah!
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah!
He knows what's going on.
He's really excited. I like
that. All right. That's to kick this off, let's start off with a lighter topic, but it's getting heavier, man. Later on, like we're talking about police and police brutality, but right now, It's Monday. Let's kick it off nice and chill, and let's talk about what it's like to be an aspiring artist and musician, especially in a place like Halifax. So who wants to kick this discussion off?
That feedback is killing me.
Sobaz.
Hold on.
Let's hear Sobaz.
Yeah, Sobaz.
Sobaz, let us know how your record deal's going.
Which record are we talking about now? The record I broke for Track and Field or the...
The one you're doing with Jadakiss.
I knew I seen you running next to Usain Bolt.
Getting left behind. That's right. Getting left behind is right. Usain, he learned well from me. He learned very well. Yeah, he's on fire, man.
That's crazy. He's a robot.
He's on fire.
You know what's funny, though? Just while we're touching on that right quick, I was watching it, and if you look, Tyson Gay's legs were actually moving faster than Usain Bolt's. Usain Bolt is just taller, so if he can get his leg speed up, he really can do 9.4 like he said, seriously.
Yeah. That's insane. Good observation.
I think he can do 9.4.
I'm telling you. Technical. Say what?
All right. Yeah.
But let's address the question that Apollo put out there in terms of music producing. Now, because I mean, one of the things we do on this show too is the cipher at the end of the show, right? So we've got some aspiring artists in the house. Lash
is the champ.
Yes, indeed. What's the music business like mean for you?
Well, it's like for me, I can't anything, any success or lack thereof that I've had in the music business, I attribute to myself not pursuing it as hard as I could. But at the same time, I think that there is a limited opportunity in this area just because the only outlet you have for hip-hop is the community-based radio. Like in other cities of this size comparable, I want to say in North America because, you know, very much so the States is and Canada are linked, but in a comparable sized city, say in the States, not so much so in Canada, but I've been to the States, so a city the same size would have two outlets that are focused on urban music. They would have one for, you know, the hip hop, the dance hall and the harder stuff, and then one for the R&B and I guess the more adult side of the urban music as well. And so you would have not one but two potential outlets that you could reach through, and here there's zero besides the community campus radio. So I do think that that's an issue. But with that said, for myself personally, I know that there's a lot of there's a lot of venues, especially now, not so much over the past 10 years, it's grown to where venues are having a lot of shows that are showcasing local hip-hop artists, but that's mainly because a lot of the local hip-hop artists have gotten involved in some, or a lot of, I don't want to say the artists, but the artists and people they know have gotten involved in the management of these buildings or have developed good associations with the managers of these buildings to be allowed to do that sort of thing. It's not generally these establishments that are doing the promotion or setting these shows up, right? So, but with that said, like I said, any success or lack thereof for me has been due to me just not putting my best foot forward. But with that said, I still know that it's a limited opportunity window within Halifax, and maybe that's part of the reason why I've shied away from making this my full 100% daily grind, because I know that it might not work that way.
Yeah, you're on air, homie.
Yeah, all right. Well, me as an artist, like, it's a dog-eat-dog world, the music business, you know? Really, like, you got to do everything for yourself. And, some people will assist you, but it's really hard out there, man. And you gotta keep working, you know? And I've been taking a lot of steps to further myself, you know, doing performances, man. Like, you got to start somewhere. I started out performing at school, and like now I'm here on the radio hosting my own little show, you know. Just got to keep working and you'll get somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. The internet, though, is a huge viable source for people, like, in Halifax. Like, if you don't have other venues, like, there's not many places where you can go to, like, I don't know, get the word out there about your hip-hop. But on the internet, like, you can meet artists from all over the world and promote yourself through the internet. Like, a lot of ways you can do it for free. Like, I don't know, it's great. But, yeah, if you want to, like, become something, I'd say you have to get out of Halifax, personally. But I don't know how you guys feel.
Like, I mean, there are some scenarios. I mean, like, Classified made it pretty big here.
Yeah.
But really, I can't think of many other rappers that have.
There's pretty much none, I'd say. I don't know.
Well, this, big, I just, people. I mean, I just saw Ghetto Child. Do you guys know Ghetto Child?
Yeah.
I just saw his video on Much Music, which I really enjoyed. Welcome to Halifax, which is pretty cool. Nova Scotia. Welcome to Nova Scotia, and well, obviously you've seen it too.
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's good production.
It's so best.
Yes.
I seen the video on World Star Hip Hop, and it like when I last seen it had like 3,000 hits already in like an hour.
Jesus.
Wow. On who's on what?
WorldStarHipHop.com. Check
it's
it out.
It's one of the biggest hits for hip hop out there.
So you're saying that Ghetto Child's piece had that many hits? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, hits. Like people watched it that many times.
How many times?
About 3,000.
An hour?
That was the first hour it was posted. 3,000.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good track. I mean, it's I've enjoyed it. I mean, there's other hip hop artists too. I forget the what's his name.
But I mean, and big up
the
to
activist.
Up to Ghetto Child. Big up to Halifax activist. But I just want to say something that people don't really realize though is that Ghetto Child been doing his thing with NEP and the Heavy Spitters and everything. They've been doing that for, you know, well over 5 years, 5-10 years. You know, I've been doing my thing 10 years. Like Classified, I've been doing this thing since, you know, the mid-90s. So I mean, to have that kind of success, one, it doesn't come overnight, and really it shouldn't, because you have to develop your grind to establish your audience. But at the same time, to be putting in that kind of work for all that many years, you know, you would like to be further along than you are now. And if you were in a different city that had better promotion for the type of music that you're doing, you would see the fruits of that labor, I guess, better and probably faster as well.
Where do you think a better city would be to go create a career in hip-hop than in Canada?
In Canada, I would say Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver. Besides that, it's still going to be limited. Even in larger cities that like Edmonton and Calgary, you're still going to be limited, even though they're physically bigger cities.
What if you went to the States?
No, man.
If you went to the States, you could do it. You could really do it anywhere in the States. Seriously. Like, I've lived different places in the States. And, for example, Tallahassee is half the size of here. But if you were a hip-hop artist from Tallahassee, you'd be T-Pain. See what I'm saying? He's from Tallahassee.
Don't go to Minnesota.
No, seriously. I just came back from West Lash, and they have a big, like, hip-hop following out there. So,
yeah.
If you're producing good music, it wouldn't be hard to get put on in Alberta, because they love anything and everything hip hop out there.
They're big on the hip hop.
I've been misinformed.
There are others who, you know, don't really put on.
What are you saying, Glenn?
There are other places who put on, other, you know, cities in Canada, but there are other places who don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some, like, that's why most people tour. Ambition just came back from tour with Maestro and IV, and he was in. Was at New Brunswick, and he said people showed crazy love out there. Like, yeah, the shows were packed.
I hear that Classified gets more love out New Brunswick than he does in his hometown, man.
That's what I was just going to ask you about.
Personally, as an avid concert goer, I say it every time. Halifax sucks. Seriously. I've been to the Snoop Dogg concert, was disappointed. The 50 concert, was disappointed. And I mean disappointed by the fans. Like, seriously, there's no reason why Snoop Dogg should not sell out the Metro Center two times over. I mean, seriously. Everyone in the city enjoys extracurricular activities, and everyone loves Snoop Dogg. So why are you not coming out to see Snoop Dogg? He's coming back. Let's show Snoop Dogg some real love, and let's pack the Metro Center.
Oh, man.
All right. But it's interesting. It's interesting, though, because people say that about... I remember there's... what's that guy's name? I forget his name. But there was that controversy that happened recently when... An American... artist went on the Q, John Gomez's show, and there was this big storm about the fact that he, you know, they was asking this guy questions that he didn't want to be asked, but he ended up saying stuff like, you know, the audience, in the Canadian audience in general, is a pretty drier. What did he say? It's potatoes without the gravy. Is how he described the audiences here.
It was Billy Bob Thornton.
That's right.
But here's the thing. He was right, but I think the issue was more that he was an actor just beginning to be into the music, so he kind of didn't have the right to be saying those kind of
things. Yeah, but I mean, I didn't even... That was a controversy. I didn't want to focus on the controversy of, you know, the whole, you know, argument between the two of them. But what I did want to focus on is something like, you know, Casey was saying that the audiences suck. So, you know, in Halifax, but I'm saying that, you know, people are making the argument that it's a Canadian thing. It's not just a Halifax thing. Well, and I mean, and I'm not saying neither here or there, quite frankly, because I mean, I have, the last concert I went to, I think, was in 84. So.
You gotta step your game up.
Hey, brother, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, I went to see Public Enemy. I'm only kidding, it was probably 90 something. But anyway, the last concert I went to see was either Public Enemy or it was back in the day. So, but
what city was it in?
It was in Toronto.
And it was packed, jam-packed.
It was jam-packed, yeah. It was, but I've always found that Canadian audiences are somewhat reserved. They don't sort of jump up and down, and or maybe they do if they have, I don't know, you know,
I guess we have a caller.
Yeah, but it's cool because it would be interesting to hear the audience chime in. The Canadian audiences suck. I don't know. That seems to be the consensus here.
That's what I say.
I got a little something extra to say on that, but I want to get to the caller before I start speaking. We got the caller on the air. What's going on?
Yes, hold on one moment. We're going to throw on a track down so long, and we're going to have the caller on right after this. This is the ultimate song about making it in the music industry.
Hey mama, your boy getting paid mama. Remember, it didn't used to be this way mama. But look, your son driving Escalades mama. They like me, but I've been suffering so long, this shit is frightening. People are starstruck, I'm getting Starbucks. But last year I couldn't afford Starbucks. I went from Honda Accord to driving large trucks. Didn't really have a name, I couldn't charge much. Niggas overlooking the bay, but that was all luck. Now I got something to say, and they on our nuts. DJ Steve, I used to hustle on the block selling 10 shots. And now I'm trading in my stocks at the rim shop. And this shit don't end, no, it's not stopping. I'm in New York with Jen, we got the set popping.
Hey, I've been down so long, so long, so long.
It's time for me to
hey,
come up.
I've been down so long, so long, so long.
It's time for me to
hey,
come up.
I've been down so long, so long, so long.
It's time for me to
hey,
come up.
I've been down so long, so long.
DJ
so
Ski.
Long.
I hit up for the MC so you can understand him. One, two battles, now they call me 100 grand Jin. Except the fact that you can't win. It's a done deal now that I linked up with your boy in San Quentin. You know cats will talk. We just here to get it poppin' and let the Bay watch like David Hasselhoff. Then go global with it. Hit your part of town, but you can't reach the sky if you don't start from the ground. Can you blame my confidence? In 4 years, I've rocked about 36 states and 5 continents. That's all on the strength of my flow. Only suckers will measure skills based on the length of they dough. I represent the craftiest, ask my man K. He'll tell you right there, I'm only one hit away. But you never know, shit, this could be the song. It's time to come up, I've been down
DJ,
so long.
I've been down so long, so long, so long.
It's time for me to
hey,
come up.
I've been down so long, so long, so long.
It's time for me to
hey,
come up.
I've been down so long, so long.
For me to
hey,
come up.
I've been down so long, so long.
If you with me, get up. So if you with me out there, then please stand up.
Hey, and if you're hustling work, then put your grams up.
But if you get locked and put on the stand stuff,
remember snitching ain't cool, don't ever give your mans up. And for my 9-to-5 workers, I ain't mad at you.
Single baby mothers that gotta be the daddy too.
This is the anthem for the struggle and the grind.
It's just
your boy.
It's about time.
Hey, I've been down so long, so long, so long.
It's time for me to
hey,
come up.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, what?
Hello. Caller?
Hi, it's Bailey.
Oh, Bailey. Hi.
How's everybody doing?
Is it?
Oh. Good, good, good.
Good.
Good, how are you, Bailey?
Good to hear from you.
I'm awesome. I miss you guys.
Is everything well with you?
We miss you, too.
Aw. I decided I'd tune in today and listen, and as soon as I tuned in, I heard, guy, I don't know who it is there, but
new guy.
When he first started out, he was performing for his school.
Apollo?
Yes.
I really admire that, and I think that's important that we do that, because if we just cut it up to Halifax sucks, we're not going to get anywhere. Like, I think it's come really far as like hip-hop, but we need to make this scene. If all of our local artists go out west, this year, we're going to be known as, like, local out there, not local here, so it's going to take a while, but we have to be persistent. We got to, promotion is the key. You got to promote your butt off, or nobody's going to know who you are. You got to go out on the street and hand out your own flyer and do it. Because otherwise,
the goal, yeah, turn the volume down.
We're going to have the hip hop scene, and it's going to go somewhere else. All of our talent, we have so much talent here. I know we do. Even I was up in New Brunswick a while ago. I came back, and there's guys up there up in northern New Brunswick in the middle of the woods that have amazing talent. And it can't be wasted. Like, you got to record, you just got to put all your stuff out there. Or if you just chop it up to Canadian audiences suck and you don't get anybody pumped up about it, then nobody's gonna show up. And Halifax and its hip hop scene is just gonna drown out. So I hope you guys have more pride in your own city, and you can have faith that someday it'll be big. It just takes a while because we're not that big of a we're not as populated.
True.
I see what you're saying. And one thing that I said that I wanted to chime in on that is because when we were just talking about the Snoop Dogg concert, and Case said he was disappointed, and we had this conversation, I think, about a month ago, maybe a little more, but I think it all comes down, again, to the venue, because when we have large-scale artists like that, they're trying to sell a lot of tickets, and they know the Metro Center is only going to hold 8 to 10,000 people, depending on how they set it up. Mm-hmm. So they have to charge $65 a pop, but if we had a venue that could hold twice that many, then they're charging $30 a pop for the tickets, then you're going to fill out that thing that's twice as big, because it's harder for someone, especially when you're talking about youth, because, you know, we know that this is music that's mostly followed by people under 30. You know what I'm saying? Everybody don't got $60, but, I mean, it's a lot easier to get $60 than it, I mean, a lot easier to get $30 than it is to get $60. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of the reason why I think we don't have the large-scale crowds that we're talking about, because, you know, just the fees are too much to support in these smaller venues, and then the venues don't sell, and then people say, well, we can't really do it because, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But a larger venue would cure some of that, because you sell a higher volume for a lower price, and it's going to work out.
So when are you guys going to make the proposal to have a bigger venue, or somehow join up with somebody who wants the same thing? There's lots of people that know that they want that. I'm sure there's a way that guys could help push that along.
You know me, I'm always on my grind, trying to kick people in the backside up here, trying to get them to really help develop this city into the city that it should be, because this is the best place to live. I wouldn't live nowhere else, seriously. I have great pride in this area.
Weren't you guys saying on the show last week that this is the biggest city north of Boston and east of
Quebec City?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But my mom was saying the other day, it's actually the population has, like, tripled, or it was something huge. Like, the numbers are just huge. Like, we can't grow fast enough. Like,
this city is still small, though. Still small.
It's getting a lot bigger than it has been, though. But when you look around, like, there's people from everywhere. It's like, I don't remember it being like that, like, when I was a kid. Like,
you mean, like, diverse? Yeah. Like, immigrants and whatnot?
There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, no, I think it's important to recognize, too, that, you know, we need to help the city just develop into what it needs to be, because there needs to be more business opportunities, put more into the arts and entertainment, put more into the sports. We talk about this all the time. There's just passion for certain things around here, especially that are followed by this generation of people that aren't being supported by the generation of people that are quote-unquote in charge of things. You know what I'm saying? And we don't have the resources and support to do that ourselves, so we need that assistance from somewhere. But if it's not coming from where it should be coming from, then, you know, then you're left on your own and things don't change. So
as far as getting a bigger venue, though, I don't know if they should, like, I don't know, for shows and stuff like that, as far as getting a bigger venue, I think they should possibly get, like, a permanent, like, outdoor, I don't know, concert venue.
Outdoors.
Well, that's the thing, because, I mean, you talk about, you know, Kiss and Paul McCartney came here. They got to redo the commons every time someone big comes.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real here. You build a good quality stadium one time,
mm-hmm.
and you can use that for large scale events. I don't always like to go after politicians like this, but we could have had that for the Commonwealth Games, mm-hmm. and they said no. But think about the type of venues and things they could have been building for that. That could have housed these numbers of people, but no, because it costs too much money. You know what I'm saying? But you can't always be small-minded like that and talk about the fiscal budget. You got to talk about the growth of the city and what's going to happen from that. You know what I mean?
A lot of people would donate the money, too. Like, if we had everybody in Halifax donate anywhere from $1 to $20, like, it would be more available. Like, there would be more money available. I think I would donate the money. I know I would. Like, there's got to be a way. Like, it's just an excuse to say, nah, it costs too much. Like, the government doesn't have that money, even though we know.
I would donate money too, and the thing is, we can't rely totally on the government. And
exactly.
Thank you, caller, but we're gonna have to go into a song.
All righty, and it was a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye, Bailey.
Ta ta.
All right. Well, now this is my song. It's my show, so I can do whatever I want. Go ahead, Apollo. I don't care. This is Apollo 13.
I've been waiting for this.
Let's hear it.
Yo, man. You ever feel like you're floating around in space, man? Like everything feels so good. And something bad just has to happen and sends you crash spinning down to earth, man. I feel bad all the time, man, but you just gotta get up and do it all over again. That's what life's about. Now this is my story. Let's go. Sometimes I feel like I'm out of this world. Then I come crash landing back to the earth. Yo, sometimes I feel like I'm out of this world. Then I come crash landing back to the earth. Yo, it won't be long before I'm on the moon like Neil Armstrong. In due time, catch me in the spaceship, writing rhymes, ready to blast off so I can shine and get mine. That's why I go hard, cause I'm shooting for the moon, but if I miss it, then I land among the stars. I hope I don't fall and hit the rocks again. Oh shit, I think I'm running out of oxygen. Can't breathe, situation's a mess. They think I'm in distress. Really make it, God please. All eyes on me, it's Apollo 13. Sometimes I feel like I'm out of this world. Then I come crash landing back to the earth. Yo, sometimes I feel like I'm out of this world, then I come crashing back to the earth. Yeah. This shit's one small step for man, one big leap for mankind. Even bigger leap for the hustle and the grind. Leave no man behind, let no man make you strip. Or be heading straight for the Milky Way. Look the competition in their face. They usually back away when they see the game of right. But if they don't, then have no fear. Call up my homie and be Buzz Lightyear. Back me up while I get beats from DJ Premier. I'm a pioneer, so I'll push the beat again. Checks, no sweat, so who needs any CRISPR? Sometimes I feel like I'm out of this world, and I can't crash me back to the earth. Yo, sometimes I feel like I'm out of this world, and I can't crash me back to the earth. I'm in front of the craft, the crowds in front of me. I give them what they want, that's guaranteed. Got fans from Saturn to Tennessee, to Halle, to Hawaii. Most agree to disagree, that's not the case when it comes to me. Best believe I'm a dope MC, but I still got a lead chasing me. In they banshees, trying to stop kids from dropping the first LP. But that ain't the situation. Please drop me off at the motherfucking space station, then the radio station. By dawn, cause the show must go on for me. It's Apollo 13. Yeah, that was my story, man. You know? I got back up. But
that was you.
Apollo 13.
That was you.
By me.
I really like that.
I like it too.
I was just there. Him.
Why do you like it?
Bobby.
Lemieux.
I just like the whole flow of it. Like, you can just.
Yeah.
I tried to do something different with that track, you know what I mean? I tried to make it like all about real life things, but I tried to give it a different kind of unique style. It's like, it's all about like being in space, if you listen to it.
Yeah.
Being in space. Yeah. Who did the musical?
It was like organized,
Organized Noise.
That was Outkast.
Yeah, but that's the producer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Aquaman.
Yeah, it's a great album. Now, you know what? I want to move away from the light stuff that we've been talking about today, and I want to move on to the topic of police brutality and how the police are good for the community.
So the topic is police brutality and how the police are good for the community?
No, what I mean is like...
Sounds a bit contradicting.
No, he don't want it to be biased, right? He wants to have both sides of the argument. I knew what he was saying.
I see.
I'm sorry for
That's
any confusion
okay.
out there.
That's okay.
Now, if you have anything to say about police, personal experiences, whatever, call 494-2487 and we'll get you on air so you can be heard.
Sure.
How I feel about the police is, in my experience, I find if you're cooperative with them, they're a bit nicer to you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. And also, like, I have I'm speaking of the weekend, I was at the Buskers, and we happened to be there when the man had fell in the harbor. Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He died, eh?
Yeah, it was so sad. No. So, yeah, but me and my friends, we were there while it happened. But at the same time, you know, when chaos struck, the police came, right? And so there's police everywhere yelling at us, you know, go here, so we would move, and then police, go here, you know, like yelling at us, like being really rude, like, and we don't know what to do because there's nobody there guiding us.
Yeah, yelling at the public, like everybody.
Yeah, and like just really being very angry, and in that time, you know, like we're observers of what's going on, but there was this one police officer who was talking to us as if we were human beings and like trying to give us instructions on as to what to do, and so I really respected that cop more so than I respected the cop who was just yelling, and I understand that it was a chaotic time, but at the same time you kind of had to keep some kind of a
what I find interesting I think is that maybe I think police members of the police force maybe are as diverse as members in the general population. Wow, hear that creak. I'm getting old. That was just my knee. But anyway, I think one of the things which is interesting, because I think everybody probably here in the studio has a story about an encounter with the police. I mean, I can remember when my daughter decided to call the police for my house, and when you do that, I mean, they show up no matter what, right? And they came, and I was like, you know, they're knocking on the door, and I'm like, hello, how can I help you, officer? And they're like, yeah, we got a phone call from, you know, from this house, and we had to come out, and my daughter was running upstairs, hiding underneath the bed, because he was, you know, oh my God, I called the police. But he was very nice and was very courteous. I mean, but also I can remember when I was younger too, having experiences. I think I've talked about it on the show before, when I was on a bus, and then a bus stopped, and
oh yeah, you ran.
Right, I mean, and there was some altercation on the bus, and the police came, and when we saw the police truck pull around, everybody decided to just run, and I ran and got caught, and in that context, it was very different.
You didn't even do anything wrong, huh?
No, I know I didn't, but I think
you ran. You look guilty.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the point I'm trying to make, I think, is that maybe depending on the context, depending on the police officer, people's experiences are going to be different.
I'm going to have to say that if a police officer treats me with respect, I'm going to treat him with the utmost respect, you know? Whether I'm guilty or if I'm just there caught up in the middle. But when I'm there...
Some might say that's easier said than done, depending on the context.
Well, I've been in situations before. I mean...
What situations have you been in?
Well, I've been... One time I was at the park, and the park closes at 10, and I was with my friends. And we were just hanging out, like we weren't doing anything illegal. We weren't drinking, we weren't smoking, we weren't fighting.
Yeah,
we
right. Glenn doesn't believe you, but anyway, go ahead.
We weren't doing anything wrong, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And the police came and they kicked us out, but they didn't kick anybody else out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
There were other people, like elderly people, and they said that the park was closed. And I responded like, well, why are you kicking us out but nobody else? And we did leave.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we were on the sidewalk, I kept asking them, like, what did we do wrong? We weren't like swearing. We weren't, well, maybe just a bit. But I mean, like, we weren't being loud and obnoxious.
Yes.
And he threatened to, because two or more people is technically a gang. he threatened to call us a gang and mm-hmm. have us arrested.
You were arrested because of that?
No, he threatened us.
To arrest.
And then he said if we just don't get out of here that mm-hmm. he will arrest us. And like I feel that's not right. I feel like that's ageism. Mm-hmm.
So you were told 47?
No, I was going to say...
What you had told him?
Myself speaking, myself speaking, Mr. Marshall Williams, the champ, you know me. I see both sides arguing because, I mean, my dad's a cop and he's been a cop for, he's been a cop for over 15 years. And I mean, people tell me my dad's a cool cop, I wouldn't know. I obviously never encountered him myself in the course of his policing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, he as a cop has provided for myself and my brother and our family for, like I said, for the last 15 plus years in
that
profession.
What does it mean to be a cool cop?
Well, I think a cool cop is the kind of cop that is just understanding about the situation, isn't in there to kind of... Well, actually, let me give you an example of a bad cop. But I want to give you one that I saw. One night, I was down at a bar. I was outside a bar, and a fight broke out. And, like, I wasn't involved, so I was an observer of this, so I want to make that clear early. And I watched the cops were arresting a bunch of people, and they had to run some of them down. And one of the guys turned around, saw the cops coming, put his hands up like, all right, you know, come talk to me or arrest me or whatever you have to do. And the cop still runs into him, barrels into him, slams him on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that was completely unnecessary. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Did you laugh?
Actually, no, I didn't laugh. I just kind of stood there and I was actually pretty appalled because I watched the guy pretty much surrender and then still get beat down pretty much, even though it wasn't like a beaten, but he slammed a guy on the ground and, you know, manhandled him. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I felt that was completely inappropriate for the situation.
Well, it's interesting because I think there are a couple of approaches to policing, right? I mean, there's the law enforcement, right? And then there's the sort of that sort of community-based policing, and there's, I guess there are different types of policing, and I guess, again, I think that as many people that make up the police force in terms of approach, I'm thinking that there are many, you know, there are many approaches as there are people, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
when it comes to police.
I agree. I was just going to say, sorry to cut you off, Becky, but I do want to finish this situation though.
Right.
In that situation, I know that as far as I know, in the law, in order for an arrest to be complete, they do have to touch you. Mm-hmm. But so in that situation, if the guy's surrendering himself, you know, you just come up to him behind, you know, pretty gently. You grab him, you cuff him, and you say, come with me to the car. You don't have to tackle him to the ground, slam him around, and then drag him to the car. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do that. You know, and I mean, in that situation, I thought that was completely inappropriate and an excessive use of force. And if that gentleman would have made any kind of stink about it, I would have went the whole length with him because I saw it from an observer's point of view. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's interesting because Chief Beasley was on the radio this morning talking about the crime rates in the city and how he was on one of the radio stations this morning, but talking about the fact that the rates are pretty low right now.
They're pretty dropping,
and also that people feel pretty safe. I mean, I think it's like 80-something% of the HRM population feel pretty safe and secure in their communities. But yet, I mean, what the radio host was also saying, well, you know, it seems that there's, you know, there are seasons, like there are peaks and valleys in terms of sort of crime in the city. And maybe we're just at a low point right now, but, you know, who knows what next week, next month will bring.
Yeah.
So it seems pretty to fluctuate.
What I find about cops is I'm always pretty decent to them. Like, I've never disrespected a police officer. Mm-hmm. But I find sometimes, like, I feel disrespected by them, like how they talk down to me and how they all seem to have not all of them, because there's some nice ones, but how a lot of them seem to have this attitude, like, you know, that police mentality that they have one up on you when they're the authoritative figure and they're higher up than you, you know, they talk down to you.
Yeah, see, people like that, I tell them quick, fast, right? Because it's not against the law to tell someone where to go and how to get there. So
unless you're a professor in what was the professor's name who got arrested for talking back to cops in the
U.S.?
Oh,
that was I don't remember his first name. I know his last name was Gates, Professor Gates at Harvard.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Well, apparently his situation was that a neighbor had called and reported that someone was trying to break in, or two suspicious-looking black males around the next door. And what was surprising about that, first of all, is that she didn't even know that the two suspicious-looking men
lived there.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. But anyway, they were neighbors. But the point is, though, that you know, she called the police, and basically Henry Louis Gates is the professor from I think it was Boston, who basically, you know, when the policeman arrived, you know, Gates kind of was mouthy to him, basically, I guess, was the report, and sort of, you know, I'm in my own home, what are you doing here, this is my home, I lost my key, so that's why I had to kind of get in this way, and so it was pretty mouthy, and as a result got arrested. And I think that's where Barack Obama said that, you know, though the police acted
stupidly.
Yes, yeah. Not that the police were stupid, but they acted in a stupid way. So apparently, Case, you can get arrested for being mouthy.
Oh, well, I'll get arrested then, because, like I said, I tell a cop quick, fast. Unless I'm with people who can't really, don't have that luxury to have to run that risk, then I'll relax. But if everyone with me is grave, then I'm quick to run my mouth and just tell the cop, listen, this, that, and the other thing. So, yeah, I don't like cops. Actually, I can't say that. I just don't like when cops are just idiots about everything. Like, for example, if someone's driving a rental car, it's obviously insurance on it. The rental company will not rent out a vehicle unless it's not insured. They can't put a plate on that vehicle unless it's insured. So, therefore, if someone's driving a rental car, why would you give them a ticket for no insurance? I don't know, but it happens. Why? Because cops are idiots.
I'm gonna say that, a lot of police make generalizations. Now, that's not saying all, but also, on the other side, they're trained to make generalizations. And in their training, they're not truthfully taught to be racist, but in a sense, they are taught to be racist. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I can speak on that.
Let Chris speak on it.
What I mean is, it's. I think I worded myself incorrectly.
Okay.
Like, they're taught.
I don't think you did, personally. I think you said it exactly right.
The police are trained to be racist, ageist.
They're taught to make a number of generalizations in that would, in any other profession, be considered discriminatory. I think that's true.
Well, is that what you mean, Chris?
Yeah. That. But you know what else I find? That the cops don't only generalize us, but we generalize the police, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not all cops are idiots, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, if you talk to a lot of teenagers and you bring up the police, they'll be like, oh man, I hate the cops, and like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And they don't realize that they're not all like that.
I used to want to be a cop when I was little. Gave that up, though.
Yeah, but most people want to be firemen or firewomen and cops, right? Police. And I mean, I think we live in a culture where that's sort of the idea, you know, that every kid wants to, well, used to want to be a cop or a fireman.
Now they
want
to be rappers.
Mm-hmm.
The actors.
I've wanted to be all of those.
I just have an issue with like cops and youth, because I taking the whole Auburn incident. Why do you need 20 cops to come to a school to handle a little issue, like an issue that was only like, I, you know what, I forget the story honestly, but I know that it was like, they had dogs and all this other crazy stuff, like, to deal with a little fight at school. So, obviously, if these people are, I mean, a bunch of cops are coming, they have their dogs and everything like that, it's, like, kind of amplifying the tension and stuff like that, when really all you would have needed was two good cops or whatever to kind of see what's going on, you know, break it up, rather than, you know, coming in, like, a whole squad or whatever, like, that frightens people, so.
I heard about that at Auburn, and I think what I can recall that I heard was that there was, like, a fight that broke out that had to do with race, like, maybe a black guy and a white guy or whatever. And I heard that the only kids that were arrested were the black kids.
Yeah. I also heard that. And, like, really, that itself is, that's really bad. And I heard about another thing at Cole Harbor. And one of the police officers literally billy clubbed the guy in his testicles.
Oh my.
And that's very unnecessary. And apparently they were laughing about it, and apparently the kid can't have children anymore.
Oh, wow.
Or walk straight.
Or walk straight.
Lawsuit.
Yeah, no, really.
But nothing, like, I don't know. I guess the kid must have been scared or something because he didn't do anything.
And so how do, yeah, so, like, when type of things like that happen, how can you expect, you know, youth to come up with a respect for police and stuff like that when all they see is negative coming from these authoritative figures?
Another reason why a lot of people don't, like, me personally, I come from an area where I'm not going to mention any, but I come from an area where, like, if a cop car sees a few cars parked in a lot or something, they're going to be, like, chastised. But then there's also a very area that's very close to that, very close to this area where I live in, that a bunch of, I don't know, Caucasian or white kids park, hang out all day, every day, 24/7, and the cops don't seem to say nothing to them. So then people where I come from are like, why is that? Like, why is it that we're in our own community on, you know what I mean, no one's land, we can't sit here and talk as two cars, and then if you go 5 minutes down the street, there's a party going on in the parking lot, and the cops ain't saying nothing to nobody. But yet no one, and no one ever knows why. But they want to say it's not racism, or they're not being racist, or they're not, like, discriminating at all. But I don't know what else is there to say, really.
And well, I think that's part of the issue, is because there's no, I mean, what else is there to say? Typically, it would be nice if there could be dialogue across, you know, across the civilian and police divide. And that may be a way to kind of, you know, to figure out what can be said. So on that note, I mean, if there are any police officers who are listening to the show, the number to call is 494-2487. Again, I'll say, thank you, Apollo. Say it again.
494-2487.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to kind of, it really is an opportunity to kind of talk about the issue of policing in the city. And we invite you to call in. And we do have a caller.
We do got a caller. So we're going to go to a song right quick. This is Never Told Me by Richcraft. We'll come later with some RS Smooth and Richcraft. We're going to get them in the discussion.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. Bring the piano in. Let's do it right. The way it should be done. Let's go. Not too long ago, I was afraid. Fear that what I made wouldn't be accepted. But the lesson that was learned was that fear is not a word. It's a state of mind. Hip-hop never told me I had to be cocky. Rap never told me I had to have an ego. Religion never told me how to be me. So for me, I live outside the society. Take another word, another verb to its highest height. Let the sentence slide off the tongue until it's like hip-hop, literally poetry in motion from the get-go. I'm emotionally involved, not married, but I'll take on the puzzle till it's solved. In other words, I'm passionate, make it smooth as the craft of it. Most modern rappers don't know the half of it. So the trend ends with imitators and begins with originators. So why be the latter when you're trying to climb it? Why have vision when your mind is blinded? And rap quarterback is what we all wanna be. But settle for the punt return team, you dig? Spit life with the facts, don't rap to attract. I spit life with the facts, cousin Hallie, I was born 87, baby, epilepsy didn't faze me. It made me stronger, music made. Hip-hop never told me I had to be cocky. Rap never told me I had to have an ego. Religion never told me how to be me. So for me, I live outside the society.
You know I'm really right. You are really right, that's the question. Because I do not seem the type. But I'm a really right for writing about how I feel, despite how society depicts me like.
but it's my personal desires for me to acquire increasing knowledge straight from high school to college, trying to abolish my limited train of thought. This game I saw as a way to escape my everyday, so my flow is raw like an enigma. Can't find a way to break this stigma. Rich boy Cadillacs, a matter of fact, the facts are spit here, yo, in Halifax. True representation of how I view things. Things puberty over, so minus the mood swings. They be like, so much potential, go get some credentials. Forget the mic game, you're nice, man, but you should be a doctor or something. You don't seem the type to be popping on something. I give you credit the way you switch, you should win an Oscar or something. But I ain't no actor, be the facts of me, rich boy that don't rap for free.
Hip hop never told me I had to be cocky. Rap never told me I had to have an ego. Religion never told me how to be me. So for me, I live outside the society. Hip hop never told me I had to be cocky. Rap never told me I had to have an ego. Religion never told me how to be me. So for me, I live outside the society.
All right. We are... Hello. We are back and we have a caller. Hello, Ben.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Excellent, excellent. So you said you had some experiences to share.
Oh, yeah. I got two.
All right. Please.
All right. Well, the first one is, it was like a few months ago, and I was walking in my own neighborhood. I was by myself, and I was wearing a Slipknot hoodie, which had admittedly some graphic stuff on it, but, you know, it's my right. So I'm walking down the street, and a cop comes up next to me and starts asking me all these bull crap questions, like, what am I doing here? Do I have any drugs on me? And just want to point out that he asked me why my hood was up and it was raining, right? So that was pretty stupid.
That's funny.
So immediately I lost respect for this guy. And he called me a punk, and then he said all metalheads are satanic and all that bull. And he basically didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And it just seemed like he was just keeping me there to piss me off at that point. And then I knew he violated a few rules. So by the end of it, I asked him for the badge number, and he didn't give it to me. He just ignored me and drove off.
It's funny, we were just talking about that on the break when the track was going, how sometimes they don't want to give up their badge number.
Because
they know they've done wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They have to, though. The
but they don't. But they don't have to if they drive off and you don't get the license plate to call in and say who it was. Then really, you can't really report who it was, right? If you don't know.
Yeah.
So they figure if they get out of there quick enough, you know what I mean? They're doing the same thing that the criminals are trying to stop. If they get out of there quick enough, they ain't gonna get caught.
Yeah.
You know, why are you doing that? You're supposed to be on the other side of the law. What's really good?
Yeah. Be observant, guys. When you get pulled over, check out everything.
But just get their name, because they got that name tag too. So if they don't give you the name, no, just try to get their last name. Man. It'd be like S. Schultzler, you know what I mean? T. Diggs or whatever, you know what I mean? Just get that last name, be like, I'm in the call the station, and be like, I was in this area, they pulled me over, and blah, 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 blah. They'll be able to find out who it was.
And it's important.
Go ahead, Ben.
I find it funny how when they pull you over and you're young or you're black or whatever, and then you actually start speaking like a person, and then they're like, oh my God, this guy's putting together a sentence and he's actually speaking. I love how that throws them off guard sometimes.
Has that been your experience? Have you disarmed?
I live in Cole Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had tons of unnecessary experience with the police. And the other experience I want to talk about is, at our last riot, I wasn't actually at...
You go to Cole Harbor High?
I was not at the... it happened at lunch. So I was out at lunch. I was at Wendy's. Mm-hmm. And when we came back, we're getting there just when things are starting to get wrapped up. And I was with three of my friends, one of which is black.
Mm-hmm.
And the cop just grabbed him and threw him into... threw him on the ground, cuffed him up, and threw him in the back, saying that he planned it and he left it. So he said that it...
My so he planned black, what?
That he planned the riots, left, and then came back to see what damage he did. That was exactly what he said, with no proof whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
That's ludicrous.
Those are strong accusations.
See, miss what I'm saying, man. I would have told the cops something, eh?
Yeah, I go right to the cops. I'm like, man, I just saw what right happened.
Mm-hmm.
Me and you were going to have a problem if you did not let him go. And like an hour later, he let him go. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if like they're trying to ruin our day.
Trying to ruin their lives.
Okay.
Like, yeah. They can't arrest you for anything. They're just going to try and piss you off. Maybe you'll do something stupid.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call, Ben.
No problem, thank you, Ben.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
You
too, man. For sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to invite any police officers out there who might be listening to the show to call in. The number is 494-2487. Again, 494-2487 is the number to call. I think it's what is the saying? There are three sides to every story. You know, there's
yours, mine, and the truth.
Yeah, kind of deal. So, I mean, I think, you know, it'd be good to be able to kind of. I doubt that a police officer will call in. I doubt that very much.
Probably not.
But maybe we got to invite a police officer to the show next time around and have him on as a guest, see if we can do that.
And just ambush
to
him.
We'll do that too. Yeah. But before we ambush him, get their point of view on the issues of just policing. Oh, is that what you meant?
You went on a blast, mate. No cop, you already set him up. You said we're going to set him up, man. They all heard. They were all listening. They ain't going to come on now.
That was a joke.
It was a joke.
Yeah. No, man. They know we ain't joking. They really know they're going to get
set up. We're not going to grill you.
No, we're grilling you. Don't come. For real.
We're grilling you like the foreman, believe me.
Oh, I just want to take it back to the last track. Richcraft, the saxophone was dope. I love that.
Jazz.
Thanks a lot.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Did you produce that, man?
Yeah, I produced the whole track. I played keys on it, and I played sax, and I chucked in a drum loop and put some acoustic bass in, so yeah.
Do you have a MySpace or?
Yeah, myspace.com/richcraft, and Richcraft is RITCHCRAFT.
Now, James is definitely a talented producer.
I'm amazing.
And he's a good rapper too, man.
Are you James?
Yeah, I was on the track there, actually. I rapped the first verse in the chorus.
Oh, so. Nice. Nice.
He's like Dr. Dre.
And how old are you, James?
I'm 22.
You're 22?
Yeah.
And you've been producing for how long?
7 years.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And do you produce, where do you produce, I guess, is the question.
Well, in Halifax. So it's I live on Dresden Row.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I've been producing for 7 years. Mainly like hip-hop, if that's what your question was going to be.
In terms of what you produced?
Yeah, like... I don't know. I actually had one on that I produced that was on Much Music about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
You had one that was on, what do you mean? What is the one that you're referring to?
It's Spech K and Market.
Talk closer.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. We Call the Shots, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
So was it the beats that you produce?
I produced the beats.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, this is. And do we have more of your stuff here? Do we have more?
Yeah, there's one other song called Sad Soul that should be on there.
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe and we can play that.
Okay,
should we play that at the end or because we and got some other stuff coming?
Well,
is it an instrumental?
No,
it's not an instrumental.
Before we do that, I say we should go for the PSAs and the weather.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, they got me dirty. No, I'm ready. You know I'm always ready.
You got some instrumentals?
Can I get some background music? I don't like to do my thing unless
I beatbox for it.
I'm the best beatboxer too, though. So how can I beatbox and do the PSAs at the same time? I'm not Dougie Fresh.
You're a talented guy.
Or Azil, is that his name?
I can, and then someone else can read them. You know what I'm saying?
Apollo's gonna. You got something for him, Apollo?
I could read him while you did that, but maybe next show.
Next show, I'll beatbox.
I want to beatbox the whole next show.
You want me to beat? I'll get it going.
All right.
Yes. Volunteer recruitment for the Atlantic Film Festival 2009. Each year, the Atlantic Film Festival's success is due largely to the nearly 200 volunteers who dedicate their time. We'll be hosting our volunteer orientation Thursday, August 20th, that's this Thursday, people, at 6 p.m. in the CBC Radio Room, 1599 South Park Street. Positions range from ticket booth holders to drivers to special event techs. There's an opportunity for you to be involved. Come learn more about the volunteer opportunities and the great benefits they have to offer. For more information, visit www.atlanticfilm.com/volunteer or contact the volunteer coordinator at 420-4093 or volunteer@atlanticfilm.com. If public speaking freaks you out, check out Dow Smooth Talkers and learn how to be a smooth talker. Every Thursday, you can practice public speaking and presentation skills in a friendly and supportive environment. Dow Smooth Talkers meets every Thursday from noon to 1 on the 5th floor of the Row Building on University Ave. And last but not least, join us Sunday, September 27th for the 2009 Scotiabank AIDS Walk for Life in support of people living with HIV/AIDS in Nova Scotia. Contact Laura Tool at 425-4882 at extension 228 or email walk at acns.ns.ca to register.
Yep.
All right, now we're going to do the weather right quick, and then we're going to drop an RS Smooth track and bring in the man himself.
Yeah, well.
Weather?
Who's doing the weather, y'all?
Who's got the weather? Nobody?
Okay, I'm going to take that.
How you calling for the weather, man? Ain't no one got the weather, homie.
It's sunny outside.
That's all you need to know.
It's going to be hot.
It's hot.
It's hot.
Is that our weather? I guess we don't have the weather. So let's go into the RS Smooth.
The weather words is hot.
Let's go into the RS Smooth track.
Yeah. So hot. I'm so tired. So tired.
Check this out. Darling, don't tell me I'm crazy. Cause I'd be amazed by your smile. And baby, don't think that I'm foolish. Cause I think something's cool about your style. I love it when you look at me and I'm giving you the same look back. And I know that we could make a little history. And I know for a fact that you're feeling me. Let's get together, girl, immediately. You know I'm never coming back, girl, that ain't my season. I really hope you're hearing me.
Yo,
I had to lay it down flat, baby, come with me.
Baby, come with me.
Because I think I'm falling for you. Feels like I'm falling for you. That's right, I'm falling for you, falling for you. I think I'm falling for you. Feels like I'm falling for you. That's right, I'm falling for you, falling for you. Darling, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think that you're taking tonight. So baby, what about me and you? Go do some things that'll make you feel right.
Like how about I tell you, girl, how much you mean to me. You're looking for adventure, you need a change of scenery. Well, I ain't trying to tempt you with all of the greenery. I'll break you off a little something, girl, just don't be mean to me. It seems to me we can surpass what you had previously. That nigga was a pain in your ass, acting so deviously. And who was he to think he could ever treat you so foolishly? I'ma treat you better than that, cause girl, you're cool with me. So get to doing
yeah.
me, because
I think I'm falling for you. Feels like I'm falling for you, that's right. I'm falling for you, falling for you. I think I'm falling for you. Feels like I'm falling for you. That's right. I'm falling for you, falling for you.
Yeah.
I think I'm falling for you. Feels like I'm falling for you. That's right.
I love that too.
We all like that.
That was a
That's
good
the unofficial
track.
Jam of the summer. You heard it here first, for real. Yeah,
seriously, I want to go barbecue right now. I want to leave the show early and everything and just smack up the grill and have a brewski and, you know.
I already said party at the beach meet me after the show. I'm even more serious now, for real.
All right.
Now, that was a nice track, man.
Thanks, man. You know, it's actually produced by this dude named Kev Brown. It was... the name of the track that he named it was called Albany. It's a beat, like he does beats, Kev Brown, so just like whole beat CDs that he does, you know what I mean? I just took that beat. It's like, hey, let me do something on that.
That was nice, man.
Thanks, man.
We were wondering back here, is that you singing?
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, good.
What was the name of the track again?
It's called Fallen For
You. Asking.
It's called Fallen For You.
It had a really nice R&B feel.
Yeah, man, it's both. It's like a hip-hop soul. Yeah. That's why I like it's both. It's like,
but do you do any just like strictly rap? Just like
kind of both. Up. It's always both, I think. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Man. Yeah. You gotta have a nice little mix, you know?
For sure.
Nice. Chilling out track.
I like how it's old school too. Like, it's like it's not one of those new mainstream R&B tracks. Like,
no auto tune on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I heard you did something over the Best I Ever Had, the Drake joint. Oh, you know that's the hot summer joint right now, so I had to do that. Yeah, that's more of just when you're playing it,
like as a DJ or whatever, you play his version and drop that one in, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
a dub plate, as they call it.
Yeah, man. The Drake's getting big.
For sure.
He's exploding, man.
Love Drake.
You know, some people are hating on Drake, in America like anyway. Some people are hating on Drake just because he's Canadian. Not because of the music or anything else. It's just...
Oh, come on.
I swear.
I don't care that he's Canadian, but I'm just not... I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that real auto-tune-y music. I don't know. I mean, I do like nice, relaxing music, but auto-tune's played out, man.
I just say, yeah. if the song sounds good, it sounds good, exactly. whether it got auto-tune exactly. or not, you know?
I like T-Pain.
I like T-Pain,
T-Pain can sing. He can yeah. harmonize. Listen to him, you know?
Oh, man. T-Pain's good, but
plus, there's songs he doesn't use it on, right?
Yeah.
There's people who just use auto-tune just for the sake of using it, but there's exactly. other people actually like know how to use it.
Like yeah. some rappers put it on their voice, but it's like you're not even singing. You're yeah. rapping and you got auto-tune.
So,
yeah.
so what do you think about Lil Wayne using yeah. auto-tune?
Oh, it's gone too far, I think. You know?
Too far.
Yeah.
You can't even listen to it a lot of times.
Yeah, the sexual eruption was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's dope, you know.
I love that song, man.
We should play that.
I think
we don't have it.
Yeah, we don't have it. I think there's a right way to use auto-tune and a wrong way. And I mean, when it's played, like, you know, I don't know.
It's been in the industry. That's what people don't realize. It's, yeah. like, been popularized now, but they've always used it. It's just they might not have put it on as extreme, so it sounds like a computer, but it just helps. It's, like, it's supposed to basically round out the note that the person's singing. So, for example, like Ashanti, I guarantee you has used auto-tune probably your whole career, but it's just you never notice because it's not as deep as like T-Pain they put it on there, you know.
Oh yeah. it's extreme now, man. But I'm not hating. I'm happy for anybody that makes it, man.
There you go.
You know,
I'm a hater.
DOA, you heard Jay-Z.
What do you think about the Blueprint 3, is it?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I just want to hear the music. I'm a fan of Jay, so I don't really hate on him for whatever.
But I don't know, man. I felt like he was outdone on Run This Town.
Oh, well, that's good. That's probably why he put Ye at the end. Like, for an example, Clips, that new song with the Clips, what's it called?
The one with Pharrell?
The one with Kanye. What's it called? Kind of like a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It might sound like a Kanye beat, but Kanye didn't do it, and DJ Khalil did it. And one of the Clips actually said, there's no way that you can let Kanye produce the track and then spit on it because he owns the beat so much because he did it, right? So, but for the Jay-Z track, Kanye produced it.
Kanye is definitely a talented producer, too, man. Like, sure. if you've ever heard Robbery, which he made for Prodigy.
Okay.
Man, it's crazy. He mixed it nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This is the regular current. People, you can hear all the background noise.
All right, so back to you. So you're a pretty big DJ in the city, man.
You're kind of like a big deal.
Yeah, you're kind of like a big deal.
It started with CKDU.
Yeah, man.
Years ago. Yeah.
It all started with CKDU.
That's right.
Now you got what? You're on C100.
Well, I was, yeah.
You were
well,
on C100, yeah. 101.3.
Yep.
And you do a bunch of stuff with Illville.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? Illville fam, what up?
Yeah, man. Like,
this is so weird being interviewed. I usually interview people, so it's like never this way. But yeah, okay, cool.
How'd you get your start out with this? Like, what made you start DJing?
You know, back in the day, this is like years ago, you know what I mean? But, I just used to always listen to the radio, and you know, the funny part was, here's a little quick story. You know, I always used to go, I was just younger, my father used to take me wherever he would go. He would work, go in and, you know, do stuff, go run errands, go work, and he would always like leave the radio on in the car back, so I always heard the radio all the time, whatever. And then I don't even know how I heard about CKDU, but I just figured out, hey, you can go there and actually volunteer and get on the radio. Okay, I'm going to do that. Like, of course. And then I got linked with this DJ Delight, Kendall Mulder from Lake Loon, Dartmouth, who was doing a show on Sunday night called like Funk and Effect. It was more like R&B and funk music, and this is like early 90s. I was only like 15, you know what I mean? And basically, whatever, I came on the show with him. He got me to like co-host with him a couple times. He couldn't make it. I started doing it, whatever, you know what I mean? Bang. And then the whole DJing part, it's kind of funny, the whole DJing part was junior high DJing, like during like lunch hour basketball or whatever, dances. And one of the main reasons that I wanted to start DJing is so I didn't have to dance, you know what I mean? I could play the music. I could play the music and I didn't have to go dance, you know.
Oh, what's
mean?
Wrong so, with dancing?
Oh, it's cool, but I'm saying, you know, being like, we're
maybe
all awkward.
Maybe dancing is just not his thing.
When okay. we're, you know, we're all awkward as teenagers, young teenagers, yeah. you know, whatever. So I'd rather play the music. And then after a while, it was like, man, I couldn't. It's like a, addiction trying to get the new music and having it and playing it for people and all that stuff. So
yeah, that's
yeah, man. Like I was saying, I started out at school, man, rapping at dances. Like, it's honestly, it's a good place to start,
for
like
sure,
with your peers, because you know they'll give you the feedback.
Yeah, positive or negative.
Exactly, you know.
They're honest, brutally.
Exactly, exactly. They're brutal, man, but it's good. Now, who do you think was your biggest inspiration? Because you know a lot of rappers are like, oh, Biggie, Pac. Now, you don't really hear who DJs think were like their biggest inspiration.
That's a good question. I mean, you know, we like I wish back then, like 90s, like early 90s, we had like BET. The good thing about me actually was in the summer of 92, right before. The reason actually, that was when I came to CKDU first. But that whole summer, I had spent time in Bridgewater with my grandfather. He was sick or whatever, but he had a satellite dish, and bang, BET. Yeah. So, that whole summer, I got to check BET before it was even in, Halifax. And it was just wow, from that point on. He passed away a few years later, and we inherited the satellite dish or whatever. So I always got to check BET. So, I got to see that part of the culture, because otherwise it didn't exist on the radio. Unless it was CKDU or, you know, barely in videos and stuff like that. So I don't know. As far as a DJ influence, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know if there really is one. It's just, I don't know. I'm more influenced by the music and playing the type of music that I felt wasn't being played anywhere. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, man, I feel that. Because, you know, we're pretty open here at CKDU,
yeah,
you know?
I like that. It's just different. There's, you know, it's a different... the type of radio, say, 101.3, and then this is just different. It's a whole different mentality, you know what I mean?
I mean, especially since you're doing big-time stuff now, and you still have a show on CKDU.
Yeah, I feel like my honest opinion about that is basically, I don't know if I could do that unless I could do this, you know what I mean? Because I need that balance. I need to have... Then the whole other point, now that, I'm okay, the commercial radio thing is there, but I'm aware of what they play. So then when I come and do my show, I don't try to, play any, I try to stay under what they play. I'm not going to play, what's on the commercial stations. That's the whole point. I'm going to play you what they're not playing or just music that, I know people might not even get exposed to, right? So that's the whole point of Smooth Grooves now. But.
Yeah. All right. So do you guys want to end the show with a cipher?
I think you should pick a beat first.
Yeah, we got to get a beat. But hold on, though. Before we get to the cypher, though, we still got the weather.
Oh, the real weather.
Oh. The weather.
It's hot.
It's going to be hot and sunny
hot
for next week.
Can I get some music, please?
All right.
The weather is hot, though.
It's too hot.
I'm gonna kick it off and the beat come in behind me. There we go. All right, so right
it's
now.
Hot.
Can't lose
right now. Oh man, right now it's 28 degrees and sunny. Feels like 36 with the Humidex.
I thought he was rapping the weather.
I can't come in that hard.
I was like, that don't
so for tonight, we got mainly clear skies. It's going to be 25 and it's going to feel like 32.
Meet me at the beach
all night. I'm telling you, it's going down. I'm taking the barbecue and everything. All right,
BYOB.
Can I get a burger? That's what I should say.
Yeah, you can get a burger.
Burgers and dogs.
All right, Tuesday, tomorrow, it's going to be sunny. It's going to be 30 degrees, feels like 38. Meet me there tomorrow, too.
We just going to post up at the beach.
Yeah, seriously.
Bring your tents, change your clothes, your night pack, your toothbrush, and all that.
Yeah.
When does
all
it
right
rain? That's the bigger question.
Don't worry about when it rains. The forecast was wrong last week.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's right this week. Anyway, Wednesday, it's going to be high at 27 degrees, feel like 35. Thursday, cloudy with showers.
Still hot.
But high at 24, feels like 32.
Hot.
Friday, cloudy with showers. High at 25, feels like 35.
Hot.
Saturday, cloudy with showers, high at 24, feels like 34.
Hot.
And Sunday, it's going to be 23, sunny, and feel like 30.
Hot.
And then next Monday, it's going to be sunny. You got a high of 21, and it doesn't say what it feels like, but it's going to feel hot. And there we go. That's your weather for the next week.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Interesting performance there from the iMove crew.
Hot.
It's hot.
All right. So do you guys want to do the cypher right quick or not today?
Yeah, always time for a cypher.
It's always time for a cypher, man. Can we get all the...
Are you gonna do a cypher too? Witchcraft?
I can try to freestyle. I never do.
Rain rap.
You can do a rain rap?
I'm not doing no rain rap.
You better not do a ring rap.
No, man, you guys get your ass kicked up in here.
Can you say ass on the radio?
Ass.
I'm just wondering, can you say ass? Oh, I just did.
Oh.
Anyway, so Smooth and Richcraft, I think you should thank our guests before we go into the site, shouldn't we?
Yes. Yes. Let's thank you very much.
Hand of applause.
We got to do our final thoughts, too, before the cipher, man. Final thoughts.
How much time do we got? How much time do we have?
Seven minutes.
Okay, yeah, we got time for
final thoughts. We'll run it, Mr. Apollo.
All right.
Run it.
Final thoughts, I guess. Final thoughts? It was good. Let's keep it concise so we can do this.
It's hot.
It's hot. It's good.
Meet me at the beach.
All right. We're going to the beach after this.
Yeah.
Now here's the beat. Let's do this.
I guess someone's rapping now.
My final thoughts are
now. Let it a great show.
Final thoughts. Yeah. Bomb show.
Wow.
Fun show.
Turn the beat down a little.
I thought we were just going to do a good final thought.
Well, I just did my final thought.
We need to go around the table.
All right.
My final thought. I think Case is going to echo my final thought. Meet me at the beach. It's a nice night. See you at the beach at about 8:30.
What beach, man?
BYOB.
Case, where are we going at, man?
We're
going
to go to Sandy Point, Holler.
Sandy Point, Open Porters Lake. So if you got wheels, cool. If you don't got wheels,
call us and we'll pick you up.
Call us and get as close as you can, and you got a ride.
Oakfield, man. Oakfield.
And Casey's cell number is...
to be announced.
5555.
Final thoughts from me. I'm just happy to be back. I've been missing you guys so much.
Great show, always.
Yeah, I'm happy. And I'm not going to the beach because I have to work tomorrow. But I would love to be there. I'm going to blow bubbles with my kids tomorrow.
Because I hooked you up with the bubbles.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Rick. Oh, I already did.
I already chimed in.
I already said I had a good show. It was fun, as always.
All right.
Yeah, young Ken, you got anything to say?
It's hot. And I'm sweating, and it's been fun. Sorry I was late. I had to go grocery shopping.
That's okay. And this is so bad throwing into these 5 cents as well. I mean, I'm just glad there's a whole bunch of old faces back in the house. Oren is back in the house, and my boy Apollo is on the wheels of steel, and Kenny is here, and we had, you know, Casey singing how hot it is. It's hot. I'm really excited about the show that we had today, and congratulations to you all. I mean, it's really kind of really good to see the developments that's happening here with youth now.
Dope. Can I give my last thoughts?
Yes.
It's been a great show. Should have thought about this. yeah, I really enjoyed it. Hopefully, we can do it again next week.
Yeah, I'd just like to say. I'd like to say thanks for letting me come in and share views on different stuff. Thanks for playing my song. Appreciate it.
I liked your song.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. That means a lot. That's about it.
I just want to say thank you for this opportunity, man, to have my show on today. And I felt it went pretty well. And just thanks a lot, man. You know, I'm 15 and I'm doing big things, baby.
Yeah.
Run that beat.
Oh, right, you to a mic?
All right, let's do this then.
O's off in the corner.
Man, flag O to the mic.
Here he comes.
Jeez. All right. I'm going to set this thing off, and then when I get done, someone come in after me. Don't worry about the weather outside, man. She grave, man. I bring the heat on the mic like a heat wave. You hear the champ spit it. Get it. I knock you out like I'm Riddick. Give the Mike Tyson. I'm old school, man. I ain't an old fool. I come through. You know how I do. Just keep it real. Drink a brew and barbecue on a night day like this. I hit the beach and you know that it's just like this. Yeah.
OTC to the building, stumbled it. First time I talked on the show, but you know, I was low in the cut. Come through, stomp on them like what? RS Smooth in the building, but it ain't Smooth Rovers. Youth Now Radio, A and B Studio. Come through, man, you should come and see. I'm on your head like a fitted, you should get with it. Get sap silly, and come through, man, I be like, yo, I got the milli. But I don't mean a gap, I come through be like Spink Gog on your go plat.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, alright. Yo, it's called Apollo 13. Yeah, this is my first show, you know how it's done. We got I'll rest smooth, Rich Craft in the building.
Yeah.
We illin', no killin'. I hear Rich Craft saying, oh yeah.
Oh, oh yeah.
Baby, you know how we do. We're gonna go skew it on the barbecue down at the beach. That's how it's done. This is Youth Now, baby. We gotta run, but it was fun.
Woo. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's how we
you just had to do it once. All right.